Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. If you don't know where Acts is, it's the fifth book in the New Testament. Are you guys there? Good. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.' Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So a great fear came upon all those who heard these things. The young man arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, 'Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much?' He said, 'Yes, for so much.' Then Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.' Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came, found her dead, carrying her out, and buried her next to her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things." Let's pray. God, we come before you. We thank you that we're able to study your word. We thank you that you give us your word in print, God, for us to read, for us to study, and for us to examine our own hearts through, God. I pray that today you'd speak to us, God, that what you want to be said will be said, and that you would press upon our hearts. In Jesus' name. I recently heard a news article about a guy in Long Beach, California. This guy is going on a date. He's real excited about it. He's kind of got the goosebumps. And so he's trying to plan this, like, beautiful picnic for the girl he's taking out. So he's trying to be real sly about it, and he's like, "Well, I don't know what to cook." So the guy goes to a chicken place and buys a bucket of chicken. All right. The lady that put his bucket of chicken together accidentally put the night before's earnings of the restaurant into the bucket, not his chicken. So he goes on his date and he's real excited about it, and he takes the girl up to this like valley, and it's all green and meadowy, and he's real excited about it, and he's getting the goosebumps even more, and the butterflies are kicking in. And when it comes time for the picnic that he planned, they get to the chicken, and there it was, over $800 inside his bucket of chicken. So he was trying to impress her, and he's trying to think instantly in his mind, how am I going to impress her? So he says, "Well, we have to take this back." So he drives all the way down back into Long Beach, California, to the chicken place, finds the manager and says, "I found this in my bucket of chicken. I'm sure it belongs to you because it's not my $800. So the manager's like, "You just saved my job. I am so excited." The guy was stoked, and so the guy was like trying to impress the girl even more, and he's like, "Well, I would have brought it back sooner if I had known it was in the bucket." And the guy's like, "Man, you're so honest." And he's like, "Well, you know, if I had known," and he's just soaking this in. He's just loving it. And so the manager gets so excited, he asks him, "Can I take a picture with you?" And he's like, "Why do you want to take?" "Well, I want to remember this day. You saved my job. I'm able to feed my family now." So he's like, "Yeah, sure." And then his girlfriend gets in the picture, and they take the picture. And the guy's just loving this. He's just loving being told that he's full of integrity. He's just loving that that he's told he's honest. And the next day, surprisingly, the guy's in the hospital. So you guys are like, "Well, I mean, he didn't eat the money, so why is he in the hospital?" Well, the girl's husband that he took out beat him up. See, what happened was the manager sent the picture and the story to a newspaper. It was printed in the newspaper the following day with the title, "The World's Most Honest Man." The guy's dating a married woman. Okay, now if this wasn't bad enough, the guy's in the hospital laying there, and he calls his wife. And he's like, "Well, this is what happened." And he's like, "Well, why did you get beat up?" So this guy's married too. And so she ends up at the hospital with the divorce paper saying, "I don't want any part of you anymore." And this is the world's most honest man. So what's even funnier is the newspaper finds out about this guy, and they're like, "We just printed a story with the world's most honest man." The next day, they print a retraction with the same title, except "The World's Most Honest Man?" Question mark. So we have a world that we live in who can fake integrity. We can fake honesty. And that's kind of what Ananias and Sapphira are doing. Look at verse 1. It said, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Some of you guys are like, Anna what? Like, who's this Anna guy? Like, Ananias, all right? His name in the Hebrew literally means to whom Jehovah, God, has blessed. Isn't that kind of a cool name? What if I was like, hey, my name is whom Jehovah has blessed? Or, hey, God's blessed me. What's your name? God's blessed me. That's his name. His name is God has blessed me. His wife's name wasn't too bad either. Hers meant a beautiful jewel like Sapphira, like a sapphire, all right? So we have a really blessed guy married to a really good-looking chick. That's what we got right now. All right, so first off, we see that they were blessed through him. God had blessed them. Turn in your Bibles, if you can, quickly to Psalm 84:11. This is what it says. And the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from someone who's walking uprightly. If you're walking a righteous life, God's not going to hold anything good. That doesn't mean that, oh, if you're walking right, that everything's going to fall in line for you. But what he's saying is, if God thinks it's good for your life, he's not going to keep it from you if you're walking uprightly. Does that make sense? All right, cool. So first we learned there are always rewards for righteousness. No matter how bad we are, if we're righteous in the sight of God and we're pure in the sight of God, there's always going to be rewards for us. We may not always see them as rewards from the start, but there always are. I found another interesting story about a reward offered. This is what it says. It's on the internet. It says, August 5th, we had a person come here after a little after midnight, basically ran over and kind of strangle about 10 of our ducks. On our property, we have some driveways that run through, and they would sleep in the driveways. Well, this guy intentionally, we caught on video, ran over a couple of them, first turned his car around, and ran over the rest of them. Okay, so the total reward for the conviction of this guy is $25,200. For 10 ducks. So I dug a little further. I'm like, wow, that's really messed up. And this was in the newspaper for the reward. $25,200 for the conviction of a guy who ran over 10 ducks. Well, I dug further, and I found out that this happened at a car wash. Now, how many car washes in Albuquerque do you know that own ducks? Can I see hands? I thought it was hilarious. The car wash owns ducks, and they're putting a $25,000 reward for ducks. All right, so we see there's pretty funny rewards in the world, $25,000 for ducks. It's raising by the day. So as we become righteous in God's eyes, as we're righteous in the sight of God, just like Ananias and Sapphira were, we're blessed. In fact, they were blessed enough that God blessed them with land to sell. We find out in the end of verse 1 that God had blessed them with land to sell. So we as Christians have also been blessed, right? What ways can you guys think of we've been blessed? You don't have to say it out loud. Just think of ways that you've been blessed. Think of ways that God's given you things that you know you don't deserve. I mean, maybe it's a nice house. Maybe you guys got like 6 iPods or something. You know, well, another way we as Christians have been blessed, especially as we as Christians, is that God gave us his son. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. I know sometimes we're like, oh yeah, Jesus Christ, he's my savior. But God sent his son down to earth for our sins. The guy died on a cross. God incarnate died on a cross for our sins. He took the pain, he took all the sin upon him and died in our place. I think it's really cool, and I think a lot of times we as Christians take it for granted. So we see how God has blessed us with his son, Jesus Christ, just like he blessed Ananias and Sapphira with land, with good looks, and even the name to whom Jehovah has blessed. So we see that they were blessed by him. Now we're going to see how they kept from him. Look at verse 2. And he, Ananias, kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back just part of the price of the land for yourself? All right, let's get a little bit of context. Go you don't might have to turn back a little bit, but in chapter 4, verse 32, we'll start there. Now the multitude of those who believe were in one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Skip down to verse 35 or 34. Now there was none among them who lacked, for all those who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. They distributed to each anyone it had, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, was translated son of encouragement. A Levite, having land, sold it and brought money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Write this down, or at least put it in your mind. We should never seek the approval of men. All right, did you guys get that? We should never seek the approval of men. All right, here's another thing to write down. We should only seek the approval of God. Not we should seek the approval of God. We should only seek God's approval. Galatians 1:10 says this, "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." As Christians, we are little Christ. Who is Christ? The ultimate servant. So we're little servants. If we're supposed to be servants of God, and we're supposed to be servants of the Most High, we should never be seeking the approval of men and only of God. All right. Just before service, Ruben hands me this. I think he found it on the floor. I don't know if it's yours. I'm sorry. But he comes up to me and he's like, "Here, Ray, this is yours." It's kind of like a little locket, and it says forever on it. Aw. But he just gives it to me and puts it in my hand like nothing. Now imagine if Ruben comes up to me and he's like, "Ray, I have something for you." And he gets down on his knees and he's like, "Oh, this is for you." And he lays it at my feet. Some of you guys would be like, "What is going on over there?" You know? Like, you guys would be like laughing and people would be really confused. Well, in these days, it was okay. It was okay to lay something at the apostles' feet publicly. But if you did it publicly, you were held even more accountable. If you came to the apostles' feet and said, "Here's my gift," you're going to be held way more accountable than had you just put it in an offering. Does that make sense? All right. Who likes money? Oh. All right, dude, come up here. Check this out. I'm going to give you this dollar. All right? It's all yours, man. All yours. But I'm going to lay it at your feet. All right? It's yours. You can have it. All right. Yes. All right. So some of you guys are still laughing about that. I can see funky smiles. I'm like, what's with this short Mexican guy up there getting on his knees? So it was okay in that day. All right. So we're told that Ananias laid it at his feet. And we have to look at his motives. We have to look at his drives. We have to look at him and his wife. Why were they doing this? Now, at first I was reading it and I was like, well, Barnabas just did it 4 verses before. He just did the same exact thing. And I was thinking, well, maybe Ananias and Sapphira were just trying to get the attention. Maybe their motives and their drives were because they wanted the approval of men. Maybe so, maybe not. But like I said, we should never seek the approval of men. What is it in your life that you're keeping from God? These guys just kept part of the money. It doesn't even give an exact amount of the money they kept, but they kept some of it. Whether it be for gas money or whatever they were going to use it for, they kept some of it. They claimed to give it all, but they kept just a little bit. What are you keeping from God? As a Christian, we claim to give our entire lives to God. That's what we claim. When we pray the sinner's prayer, when we say we're a Christian, people know that we have sold our lives to Jesus Christ. That's what they know. What are you today keeping from God? Is it your life at school? Are you a different person at school? Is it your romances? A certain sin, something that you've held on to that you want to keep. You know it's wrong, but you keep on doing it because it's yours. It's for you. Is it a time of day? Is it your attitude? What about a trouble or a care? What about something that's going on in your life that you know is hard? You're going through a tough time or you've had something hard happen to you and you don't give it to God. You keep it for yourself. You hold on to it because it's yours. It's your problem. It's your trouble. It's your worry. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Remember, Ananias only kept back part of those proceeds, just that little bit for himself. And Peter asked him, why has Satan filled your heart? Guys, if you isolate yourself, that's a dangerous place to be. If you keep it to yourself, it's dangerous because Satan's going to feed you lies. Satan's going to tell you, you're not good enough. Satan's going to tell you, God can't help you with this problem. Give it to God. Give it to God, guys. All right, so we've seen that they were blessed through him, that Ananias, despite being blessed, he kept from God. And now we're going to see how they lied to him. Look at verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look of the feet of those who have buried your husband. They're at the door and they will carry you out. She lied straight to Peter's face. He asked, did you sell it for so much? She lied straight to his face. Yes, we sold it for so much. What's even worse is that him and his wife were in cahoots. They had planned it. They knew what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. They knew that they had only given so much. They knew it. They probably knew exactly how much they had kept together too. All right. Wikipedia defines a lie as this. A lie is a type of deception in the form of an untruthful statement with the intention to deceive, often with a further intention to maintain one's reputation or to avoid punishment. There's some pretty interesting things that pop out in this definition to me. First of all, there's always an intent. I mean, who lies? I want hands. Who lies? Now, who lies by accident? You're a liar. Who lies by accident? Everybody who lies knows they're lying, right? You don't ever tell a lie and be like, oh. I mean, sometimes you're like, oh, man, that was right. And you go back and tell someone. But when you lie, you have that intent to lie. You know you're lying. Secondly, we see there's even more of an intention to maintain one's reputation. Who's ever been, like, ratted out? Who's ever been like, yeah, me too. And when you get ratted out, aren't you worried? Like, oh, man, what are they going to think? Or what is that person going to think about me? We're worried about our reputation, right? We want to maintain our reputation. Lastly, we see that we're always trying to avoid punishment. Who's ever snuck a cookie out of the cookie jar? Right? And then you're walking back through the living room and your mom's like, Ray, how many did you eat? How many what, Mom? We have cookies? Oh, man, I didn't know we had cookies. And there's like this big chocolate chunk on your face the whole time. You know, and she's like, yeah, I know you were eating cookies. We're always trying to hide what we do, right? Numbers 32:23 says this, and be sure your sin will find you out. What does that mean, your sin will find you out? If you sin, not only does God know about it, but he's going to make manifest. He's going to make everybody know that you're a sinner. I think being a liar is a dangerous place to be also. I mean, if you're a liar and you get found out, everybody who you were part of that lie with is going to know you're a liar. Everyone you've lied to is going to know you're a liar because your sin's going to find you out. Who's been caught in a lie before? Doesn't it stink? Aren't you just bummed because everybody knew you lied? Yeah, it's not really fun. In fact, our society says it's okay to lie, right? I mean, we go to school and we get taught evolution. I mean, it's not a fact. It's a theory. They won't tell you this is the theory of evolution. They'll say this is fact. We're lied to every day at school when we go to science class. In fact, even our former leaders of our country, like Bill Clinton, tell us it's okay to lie. Under oath, he says, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Did he? Yes. Was it proven? Yes. Did he lie? Definitely. Even our leaders of our country say it's okay to lie. So we see that the world we live in thinks it's okay to lie. Guys, I'm a sinner. I'll admit it. I mean, I mess up every day of my life. In fact, I can't think of a day in my life where I haven't messed up. It's only by God's grace that I'm even up here right now. Because if you guys knew the stuff that I do and the stuff that I say and the things that come out of my mouth and the actions I take, you guys wouldn't be listening to a word I say. Because it's only by God's grace that we as sinners are forgiven. All right, look at verse 9, just the first part. It says, Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Ananias and Sapphira are a couple. They're married, right? Remember the guy who's blessed by God with a good-looking chick? They're married, all right? They're a team. Before God and men, they're a team. They're partners for life. That's it. They're partners for life. And they're working together. What kind of accountability do you have? You might not be married. I'm pretty sure none of you in here are married. But what kind of accountability partners do you have? Good, you're married. That's nice. What kind of partners do you have that keep you accountable before God? Do you have people who say, you know, I saw this is what you did, and it's wrong? Do you have people who say that? Do you have friends that come to you and say, you know, I don't think that what you're doing with your life right now is correct? You need to hold each other accountable. And if you have accountability partners like this who are going to plan with you and are going to be involved in your sinful nature, then get rid of them. If you have friends today that are supposedly holding you accountable and they're helping you sin, or they're encouraging you to sin, or you watch them sin, get rid of them. They're supposed to be holding you accountable. They're supposed to be keeping you accountable before God, for the creator of the universe. If you have them like that, get rid of them. Lose them now. And if you don't have an accountability partner, or if you don't have someone who's going to hold you accountable, if you don't have someone who's going to say, this is wrong, then get one right away. I can think of 36 of them right now, they're leaders in Velocity, who will hold you accountable and say, this is wrong. And even your peers, you know, a Christian at school, just tell them, this is what I'm going through in my life. Will you hold me accountable? Will you make sure that I stay in God's will? Do it, guys. So we see that God's blessed them. We see that despite their blessings, they kept from God. They kept that little for themselves. And then to make it even worse, they lied to God. Lastly, we're going to see that they were killed by God. All right, look at verse 5. It says, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Verse 10, immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. So we see that they both died. They both conked over, died. It's over. Life's done. They breathed their last. All right. I just read a story. I thought it was kind of funny. About a guy in Roosevelt Park in Albuquerque. All right, it's near downtown. And it was under construction for the last, year. And so there's a local church over there, and they're handing out Bibles to people. They're just giving out Bibles. They're not witnessing. They're not telling them God loves them. They're just handing out Bibles. And this guy refused to take a Bible. So I thought it was funny. He didn't want to take a Bible. So then the guys from the church make it even worse by start witnessing to him. He's already mad because they offered him a Bible. And so they start telling him, God loves him, God loves him. He gets mad and he starts walking away, rebuking God, rejecting God blatantly. As he's rejecting and he's in his fury, he misses these two construction signs that say, do not enter. He continues to walk. He's still cursing God. And a tree branch falls on his head, kills him instantly. Witnesses say there was lightning involved. I don't believe it, but it wasn't even a cloudy day. But still, instantly, this guy's cursing God, and his life was taken away from him. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to strike you dead if you're a sinner, but what I am saying is that these things, they're difficult to hear because we don't see that in our society, do we? Do we see people getting struck dead? Can you imagine if every time someone sinned, God struck them dead? Can you imagine? I don't think anybody would be in this room right now. We are blessed by God's graciousness. So I think Ananias and his wife, their situation was a little more serious than just, you know, a tree falling on their head. In fact, I was reading some commentaries on this chapter, and they were saying that it was due to a medical condition, that they went into shock and that one of them had a heart attack, and that's why, because their sin had found them out. And I think that's baloney. I think that this was definitely God's intervention, saying, this is wrong, and I'm going to make an example of this being wrong. Sure, I mean, medical might have been involved, but I really think God was ultimately in control. I don't think they fell into shock or they had a heart attack. I really think that God had ended their lives. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that to us? That we don't just like, oh man, I sinned. Oh, breathe my last. It's over. All right, I'm not saying this to you guys. I'm not telling you guys this and showing you this in God's word so that you can go home and be scared. Oh man, I can't sin. I can't sin at all. Oh man, I can't do it because God's going to strike me dead. I mean, how horrible of a Christian life would that be? God's going to strike me dead. God's going to strike me dead. That's horrible. Don't have that mindset. And I'm not telling you this. You can go to school and be like, to your non-Christian friend, dude, you're a sinner. I'm afraid for your life. I think God's going to kill you. I don't want you guys to go to school and do that either. What I want you guys to do is be aware that God's in control. God's ultimately in control of everything in our lives. Look at the last verse, verse 11. It says, so great fear came upon the church and all who heard these things. So what do you mean great fear came upon the church? And everyone who heard this. This isn't a bigger town, all right? Everybody in that town heard about Ananias and Sapphira being dead. Every single one of them. So people are watching us as Christians. You go to school, they're going to watch you. You go to church, they're going to make sure that you're really not being a hypocrite. John MacArthur said this, the world will judge the validity of the gospel, God's word. They're going to judge this book here by the character of the people who believe and acclaim it. They're going to judge God's word by how you live. How you live at school, how you live when you're at home, they're going to judge the validity of God's word by how you live. Are you living in a life that proves that God's word is true? So we raise our hands during worship. And you know, some of the girls are like, hee hee, look at his biceps, you know, like, you know, when they raise their hands. Are you guys doing it for attention? Are you guys doing it for attention? Are you like, oh man, I gotta show off my biceps and worship the Lord? Are you guys doing that? Because this is what Ananias and Sapphira did. They did it for attention. What are you holding back today? What is it that you're keeping from God? In what ways do you lie to God? Guys, give it to God. Give it all to God. I'll admit, I'm going through some hard times in my life right now. I've been in situations in the past couple months that I never thought I would be in. That I never thought my life would go this direction. And I never thought that I would end up in this place that I am now. Guys, if I hadn't give it to God, I wouldn't be here right now. You have to give it to God. And that's a hard lesson that I have to learn. You have to give it from God. Don't keep it. Don't keep that sin. Don't keep that attitude. Don't keep your home life or your school life to yourself. Give it to God. Give all your worries to God. Is your worship genuine? When you raise your hands during praise and worship or in your worship lifestyle, is it genuine? Is it real? Or are you putting on a show? Are you keeping that little bit back for yourself? Give it all, guys. Not just a little bit, keep it for yourself. Give it everything to God. Thank God for what he's blessed you with. We too are Christians. We are people whom Jehovah, Jesus Christ, creator of the universe, has blessed. Are we going to keep some of it for ourselves? Or are we going to give it all back to God? Are you guys going to surrender your entire lives? Or are we going to keep some of it for ourselves? Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. I'm not saying God's going to strike you dead, but God will hold you accountable for what you do. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you that you bestow grace on us. God, I thank you that you've blessed us. I pray that we don't keep anything back today, God, that we give every single bit of our lives to you, that we give all our worries, all of our cares, and we put them on your shoulders, God. Come before you now, God, and we tell you we cannot do this. We cannot carry our worries, our cares, our sins. God, I pray that if there's something we're keeping back today, that we'd give it to you. God, I pray as we worship now, that we'd come before your throne and genuinely worship you. If that means that we get on our hands and knees, or if that means we raise our hands, God, that we do it, but we do it genuinely, that we do it in a way that glorifies you, and it's not for attention. God, we have wretched voices, we have horrible, horrible tunes, and you say it's a fragrance. God, I pray that this fragrance would be a sweet-smelling fragrance, not a bitter one. God, I pray that it'd be real, that it'd be genuine, and that you would be glorified. I thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name.